Listen in as five friends take turns weaving stories through the tabletop game of their choice. This is 5 GMs in a Trench Coat.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to 5 GMs Presents, the students of Strixhaven. We kind of close in and zoom down on the main central of campus as it is bustling with first-year students, second-year students, third-year students, and fourth-year students as any college would. You see lore hold Prismar. You see magic flaring around different colors and whatnot as people fly and filter around campus. Looking for their teams. You've all been given a ticket, and this ticket will designate you for your team. The team that first finds a special treasure in a big treasure hunt right now will, all members of said team will get priority registration. We will go ahead as we kind of smell the ink and parchment floating around as spells are thrown and flipped around. People are given boons and bardic inspirations, and other people are given banes and silvery barbs from our silver quill friends. You see our first character, Tanner.
So, hey guys, it's Tanner. So my character's name is Luxford Sherwood. He's probably around 20, right? 21. Mm-hmm. Kind of like medium length blonde hair that's kind of messy and brushed back. He fair skinned, green eyes, and he's probably like away from everybody, like tinkering with a new magical device he's trying out. We have uniforms, right?
Yes, you do.
Okay, so he's probably wearing his uniform, but kind of like disheveled. Like mm-hmm. He doesn't care to like show off or like wear it properly. And he also has like his armor on, his like artificer armor. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's like silver and gold and green.
Fantastic. What are you doing in the moment? You have your ticket. It reads 3101. You know that is Team 31, first member.
Okay. Yeah, I'm probably just tinkering with something. I'll find my team in a minute. I'm trying to figure out this idea that I've got.
Fantastic. Okay, and then from that, we will bounce over to...
Hi, I'm Kim, and I'm playing Astra Dimitriou. Astra, she's currently sitting in, I think, the nook of the library. She's got her nose deep in a book. You see, she's about 21 years old. She's a human. She has about, like, a shaggy kind of pixie cut, chocolate brown hair, fair skin, a very round face. And you see this little, like star, which is her familiar, flittering mm-hmm. around her as like she's reading and that sort of thing. And I think she's wearing her silver quill uniform, but she has like a cardigan that has like wisps of both like a combination of like ink and smoke kind of coming off mm-hmm. of it and that sort of thing as well. And yeah, so she's currently just hanging out reading, trying to figure things out, you know?
Of course, yeah. So once again, in the moment, like I said, you're hanging out reading, trying to figure things out. You do have a ticket marked 3102.
Have it as a bookmark currently.
Yeah. Yeah. So you were given that this morning upon arrival. It is your third year. It's not your first time participating in this. It might be your first time winning. We'll see. You know,
it is
hard. there's no rules against certain things, which the big announcement will be made shortly. And then we will bounce over to...
Hello, it's me, Tanlin. I'm here playing Lexavier Sedic, going by Lex. They're like this, they're kind of tall, tiefling with like magenta skin and like straight up horns and like wide out eyes. And they look like the most quirky art bitch you've ever seen in your entire life. Like they're wearing the school uniform, but it's like wrong, like like tucked in wrong and like has other things layered on top. Definitely always gets like, what's the word? Dress coded
for
wearing the uniform wrong. But yeah.
And what are you doing at the moment? You have 3103. You know that your team is out there somewhere. Everything's chaotic and frantic. What are you doing?
I think they kind of like, because where are we? We're like in...
So you're currently, you guys are in the center of the Strixhaven College, the Strixhaven School. You're away from all of like your buildings where you take most of your classes and where you guys will dorm, and you're the very center. I believe the center is where the Biblioplex is, which is like the large, like humongous library.
Which is where I'm at. I'm hanging out. I'll figure it out. I'll get there.
But yeah, so we're in that area. Like I said, it is full right now. The most stressful part definitely are probably the new students. there are new students who are scared and nervous, but a lot of new students tend to be accompanied with a lot of wild magic. This specific plane of Arcavius and the specific school of Strixhaven is for magic users. And Arcavius is full of intense, wild, snarling magic. And not everyone can control their magic as well as everyone else. And so you do see a stray fire bolt or lightning crackle here or there. You see some frozen students from a misplaced sending spell trying to call their mom. It's not the first year. It's not your first year. It's not your first time. But what do you... Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the chaos. I think I... Because what's the number? It's 30...
You're 3103.
3103. I think I might, like, stand up on, like... What, like a ledge or anything like up high to be like, who has 31? I'm trying to find my girls.
Go ahead and give me a performance roll to see how well you can get the attention of the people you're looking for.
20, dirty 20.
Dirty 20, that's very good. Also, first roll of the campaign. Yeah. We're not even through introductions yet. It's okay though. So you stand up. Mm-hmm. With a 20, you're screaming. It's quite a performance. I think that, like, first year, stop. Every first year who hears your voice, I think maybe you're even, like, magically, like, boom, like echoing your voice. And it doesn't make your voice sound like it's yelling, but rather it puts your talking voice, or maybe even your, like, elevated talking voice, everywhere.
Yeah.
And so it's not, like, a yell, but more like a, what are those called?
Like speakers.
Like a speaker around, and you're being talked to.
Surround sound? Talked at.
Yes. You pretty much surround sound everybody.
Yo.
And I think it is accompanied with...
Yo, they got the Dolby audio.
They do, yes. Oh. They have the Dolby audio. The Walkman. And it comes full circle. And so you... It is. I think it is even accompanied with sparkles of your magic. What does that look like? Just like the lightest, faintest bit of your magic.
Just like colorful... there's no like rhyme or reason to it. It just kind of like
yeah, it's explodes. Almost like an aurora borealis mixed with like a sparkler, like a child sparkler that just like crackles across the entire area, and everyone hears it. But before we get to that, let's go ahead and cut over to.
Hello, I'm Jesse, and I'm playing Ember. She is a tiefling who has teal skin. Her hair is just past her shoulders, and it's dark purple, almost black. She has it braided up, and her horns kind of go around her head like a crown, almost like Darth Maul, but longer.
Oh.
And then she has little, like, she has, like, vines and flowers woven into her horns.
Oh, how fun. And what is she doing in this moment? She has 3104.
Oh, so she's going to be like, oh, man, I got to... And then when she sees this whole, like, she's like... Girly! And holds up her thing that casts Minor Illusion to do like to put a big 31 over her head.
Oh, very good.
I'm also 31!
Yeah, yes! so now there's this. What is your Minor Illusion look like? Is there a hint or tint of anything, or is it just the number 31?
I just kind of throw up sparkles that make the form of 31.
Yeah, so there's just like above in the air. It's like poppers going off. Like someone like scattered a handful of poppers above you, but it's constant, and it just is this large 31. And then we will cut to our guest and our final player.
Kuro, hi, or should I say Kuroi is the character name. And yeah, I am a Water Ganassi of the Silver Quill College. I am an interesting form of lawful good where I like to punish all the bullies and mean people. But I am Strixhaven, so I am going to basically do it by being as mean and catty and bitchy as they are. an interesting quirk that I do as a Water Ganassi, I tend to, I guess, like, cast speaking or, like, the spoken rituals of the Strixhaven through water bubbles. Just so, like, you know, people can't hear me telling evildoers to shit themselves, but you will sometimes every now and then just hear a bubble pop, and someone who was bullying someone last week might just, you know, start running to the bathroom.
Fantastic. And so you have the final ticket, 3105, and you hear first that booming voice of like, where are my 31 girlies at? And then you see this big sparkling 31. I think you guys are like halfway across the area too. So you're like running over to the 31.
I turn into a bear. So everyone gets out of the way.
I'm
so excited.
It's not uncommon for polymorph or for shapeshift. And so you turn into a bear and like the first you froze, like the first years were frozen in their tracks from like a third year yelling. And now they're scattering as there's just this, just big ass bear.
I give her a big bear hug.
Yeah.
You run up Karoy. You see this chaos.
I roll my eyes and go, oh boy, it's gonna be one of those sort of days, isn't it? Typical Prismari. Yeah, but yeah. That does not in any way, shape, or form slow me down from a dignified trot, if you will.
Very good.
Over to the area.
All right, perfect. And then the last two of you, how do you guys make it over?
So, yeah, I think Luxford, I go by Lux, obviously everybody sees what happens. He kind of smirks. I pocket the thing I was working on in my little bag, and I walk over, standing straight, and I probably get there last. I think I get there last.
Okay. I probably hear all of that. I see who's in my group. I close my book that I was reading, and I like softly like bang my head against it. I'm like, why did this have to happen this year? Oh, and then I take a second, I compose myself, and then I will probably slowly walk over, hands in pockets, just sort of being like, 31.
31. I bring her into the bear hug.
Oh, you didn't have to do that.
You smell like bear now.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I can't speak, so rory rock.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, so you guys all gather up. Like I said, you guys know each other in passing, I'm sure. Some of you, two of you are in Silver Quill together. You guys probably take a lot of classes together and are in a lot of your wizardry and casting classes together specifically. Most likely, you guys are in a lot of enchantment and abjuration courses. However, as you guys gather up, I think there's that moment of like half a group likes each other. The other half is like lukewarm on it. It's like, oh, like get a load of this, but whatever, we want to get to the thing. You guys know the deal. You've been here before. You've, been in the first day rush, and you've participated. You've never won, but you've participated in attempting to get priority registration for the five of you. It is difficult. It is hard. And it is, it's wanted, right? It's yearned after, sought after heavily. People try to cheat every year by fabricating the magical item or the magical artifact that is to be found. We'll see. As you guys are gathered up, you guys have your moment of kind of like fun and distaste. And then like, but also unlike Lex Xavier's big kind of, where are my 31 girlies at? you hear... in a spoken, calm voice, no fluctuation, no raising. And Croy and Astro would recognize this as one of the head Silver Quill professors holds their wand to their like jaw and it amplifies their voice too. And I think it's less of surround sound and more like having headphones on. You hear her in your ear. She's, everybody, stop moving. Thank you. 31 over there, 32 over there. And she begins directing. And now all of a sudden people are getting in single file lines and things are coming together. And she then continues on. This is not the first, nor will it be the last first day rush. We will go through this as we typically do. First years, you will have the advantage of starting first. Everyone else will start 10 minutes after you. There are multiple magical struggles and strifes that you will be put through in your time to hone your abilities. Proctors will be watching over to deem where your classes should be and what classes you should be in. Those of you who are second, third, and fourth years, you should perform fairly well. However, if you do not, we may request you repeat certain classes as your skills are not apt. Beyond that, I hope everyone has a fun first day. Classes will start tomorrow. Hopefully you get priority registration and pick what you want. There are multiple hidden items and potions. If you find them, you are welcome to utilize them. Nothing here requires attunement, so you will not have to worry about that. If one of you is mortally wounded, please immediately report to the nurse's office. The nurse's office will be down this way towards the Witherbloom corridors. You can head over that way. We have a small teleporting port, and we'll take you there shortly. Please don't spatter blood anywhere that it can't be cleaned. Also, remember, don't feed the animals.
looks at the bear.
I disagree.
Has she stopped talking, Adam?
Yeah, and then I think she pauses and she's, first years go. And so the first year is like, take off, and you guys know you have about a 10-minute buffer.
Okay. So, yeah, Lux will just speak up. So you guys ever won one of these?
Mm-mm.
No.
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 This will be my third time.
Try as I might.
Excuse me?
I just got lucky, I guess. Ugh, and I start stretching.
Roll me a deception check, please.
Dude, solid 9.
Yeah, so with passive insight, everyone knows that Lux is lying.
Sure, bud. Sure.
Third time.
Anything you say.
Stretching hard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And
third time losing, more like, but okay.
Yeah, I would have to agree. But I don't think you said your name, or maybe I didn't catch it.
Oh, my name's Lux Sherwood. It's nice to meet you. And I give you a hand, like I offer my hand to shake.
Okay, yeah, and I'll also put my hand there to shake. And I'm like, I'm Astra.
Lex, Ember, and Karoi, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Bear gives a thumbs up.
Oh, bear thumb up.
Are you going to be like that the whole time?
I point to my nose to indicate that I could smell good as a bear and will be useful.
Dude, Jesse's the goat.
That does not answer the question.
That does not answer the question.
Jesse's the goat. Jesse's the guy, you know?
I promise you, you do not.
I personally think Ember looks really fucking sick as a bear.
I give her another bear hug.
Okay.
Yeah, so you guys are
smell good as a bear.
You guys are having this moment of like, once again, distaste, but also like, well, we're a team. We've never won. And then you hear, the rest of you may go. And it starts. So you guys can head anywhere in the general vicinity, or you guys can go to any of the big areas as well, like any of the big schools, dorms. Things are hidden all throughout the campus. Last year, you know that it was found in the Lorehold catacombs. Can you, Luxford, can you give me a history roll on that?
Yeah, dude. Dude, Lorehold rolling history, crazy.
Yeah.
24.
Amazing. Sick. That's weird. Historically, they would never put something in the catacombs. The catacombs are full of ghosts and moving statues, and it is a dangerous place. And it's even for like sort of the devil may care attitude a lot of the professors have here, because like, well, we have healing magic and we're here, we can protect them. That was an odd move. You definitely find it odd. But that was last year. This is this year. It's unlikely to be in the same place.
Has there been a recent change in staff, like teachers and stuff like that, that would suggest a difference in how this is like?
No, as far as you're aware, your 3 years here, it's been pretty steady. I mean, a couple like new professors here or there, but some interims, but nothing insane. No like large swaths of change.
And then last question, Adam, I'm sorry. Do we know what the object is? Like, could
I? You do not know, but you do know that when it is found, it typically, as everyone says, it like erupts in light and then spells out Strixhaven when it is found.
Okay.
So you will be able to, you'll know if you find it.
Okay. I have locate object, but it's not going to help me for a lot of reasons.
Because you have no idea what it is.
It's almost like they know that students who go here would have locate object.
Kind of fucked up if you think about it.
Accio MacGuffin.
Yeah, right? okay. Where's everybody heading?
It's honestly like a mad dash, a big scatter. You guys are next to the main building, which is the Biblioplex. And surprisingly enough, not many people are going there. I think it's this concept of like, well, it's the closest place. We can come back to it. I don't want to start where we were. And so there's not a lot of people at the Biblioplex. Everyone else is running around the general area of the main like school buildings, which is the dead center. And then a handful of like older students are porting to their like their home bases, right? Like right. Strixhaven, Lorehold, things like not Strixhaven, Silverquill, Lorehold, and the Prismari buildings. They are porting out that way. The older students tend to go to where they're comfortable first. They know their places. They can scan. You can scan Silverquill building quicker.
That is
what they're doing. You do see a lot of groups splitting up. You don't have to split up. It may not behoove you to split up.
Well, does anybody have any ideas on where we should check first?
Well,
I just look away from Lex. I'm like, we all check at the same time. I'm like, go ahead.
No, you're good.
No, you finished.
No, you wanted to talk, so.
No, you obviously spoke.
The bear is just gonna start pantomiming a book to be like the library.
Dude, I fucking love it.
I think when I turn my head, I look at Ember and I'm like, the library?
Shakes the head, yes.
Okay. How does everybody feel about the library?
I think that's a good start.
Yeah, I mean, it's right there.
Karoi?
It is definitely the biggest location. It would, and it has a bunch of passages all throughout. It would be a good place to hide something.
Agreed. All right, so I guess we're going to the library.
Yeah, so I just went ahead and sent in another photo into our Discord, which is that of the library schematics.
Ooh.
This is kind of the general breakdown of the biblioplex. There's the first floor, second floor, and third floor. Though they appear small, obviously they are not. The second and third floors are humongous. This is a gigantic magical library that, once again, is filled with planes worth of magical information. This is something that's not unfamiliar to you. There are sections that only reveal themselves to you when you are capable or ready, or when you're in most need. Sometimes you're having a cram study session in the biblioplex and you just can't get that spell, and then suddenly you hear bookcases shifting and the books you needed to master that spell are there. They help you with the fundamentals. The biblioplex is a living, breathing library. It's perfect for any caster who's trying to learn and better themselves. So you enter said biblioplex. There are straggling groups here. There's a couple of first year groups, maybe one or two-year groups, but third and fourth years have cleared out. They have gone elsewhere. They're also far more magical, so it's easier for them to move around like you guys. And yeah, you've entered this biblioplex through this little area where it's marked B1. You enter straight in and you see the Hall of Oracles and everything else kind of about. It is humongous. What would you like to do?
Is there any place that's particularly dangerous in this library?
You know, specifically the third floor is maze-esque. And not only is it maze-esque, it can sometimes trap people in there.
Oh.
There's stories on campus of people attempting to find information that mayhaps they weren't supposed to or did not necessarily need to find, forbidden magics of sorts, and the biblioplex traps them for an amount of time.
Interesting.
Well, I don't know about you guys. I kind of like our odds in the biblioplex, right? In the third floor.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Roar.
It would be the hardest place for other students to reach, so I'm down for that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like a little adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, fantastic.
I had an idea for detecting the casting detect magic as a ritual and then like looking for like, because we know it'll kind of do like, that's like illusion
okay.
magic.
Yeah, illusion
so
magic.
Like sort of fill through, because I know it's like a magical
that.
Space, but like,
very good.
It might
like
help
that idea.
With
yes.
direction.
If we do detect magic, technically, like you'll just see it everywhere. So it might be in a gap where there's not magic.
Oh, that's also true.
Good point,
it does give you, because the way I've flavored detect magic, I know at least for our games, is I tend to have different magics look certain ways and things that are more magical appear larger. And so, yeah, you would be able to mark illusory magic. You would be able to recognize illusory magic with detect magic on. It might be a little overwhelming to cast detect magic here.
Oh, yeah.
So I will probably, for the amount of time you have it up, I will probably, because it lasts a certain amount of time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it lasts 5 or 10 minutes. For the amount of time you have it up, every little bit you will have to make a couple of saves.
Okay. I'm wild magic, so as soon as I cast a spell, I have to
you have to roll.
Yes,
I'm so, a fan. I love it.
I'm doing it as a ritual, so I don't have to spend a thing.
Okay, so that will take 10 minutes. Are we all waiting 10 minutes in the...
Or I could do it as a slot.
Biblioplex. I can also cast it Because
I can cast it better.
Yeah, I have one of my Eldritch invocations is Eldritch Sight. I can cast it without spell slots.
Oh. So you can cast it better, turns out.
Whatever. Yeah, that's, well, that's my idea.
You do that, and I'm like, I could.
I think she's starting
it.
To do the ritual.
Yeah, and I'm like, guys, I got it online.
Like, can, drawing colors on the floor.
I have it on.
One of the first years.
Sorry,
like,
I didn't realize you were doing it that way.
No, yeah, that's cool. That's actually, that's really neat that you can do that.
Yeah,
so.
Thank you for the idea. It was pretty helpful, though.
Yeah, it was, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks. anyways, okay.
Happy bear noises.
So.
Yeah. All right, yeah, so you, your eyes kind of glaze. What does it look like when you're detecting magic?
I like to think it's like a little, like shadowy, like goggles almost, sort good. Of come
yeah.
over.
A shadowy binocular.
Yeah, yeah. Like shadowy binoculars.
So they kind of arrive around your eyes, and then and everything is magical, and it's just this like oppressive like oh, what am I saying?
Why'd I do that?
And I would like you to give me a charisma roll, please.
My eyes, yeah. My eyes,
exactly.
My eyes.
That'll be a 21.
Okay, yeah. So for a moment, it's Akira.
Yeah.
you kind of gather yourself back together. You've probably cast tech magic here before. I think maybe you did it as a first year, not realizing, and it just laid you out. Yeah, you ended up in the infirmary, but this time you're like, nope, I know what I'm doing. I can hone down. Mm-hmm. And you begin looking for illusory magic. Are you guys headed to the third floor, or are you still at the bottom floor? Because I know we tossed around third floor.
I think I'm doing this as we're on our way to the third floor. Okay. Just to like kind of scout out, maybe in case on our way we find.
Yes. So one of the handful of things you do recognize is on each floor, there are two staff placed, but they are behind like illusory walls.
Okay.
So they're not seen, right? And so you recognize that. It's just something to point out. On the second floor, there appears to be no illusions outside of the illusory walls made. However, you do see two students who are like, there's definitely like, it's, you hear them talking to themselves, working it out. And he's like, look, man, it's typical. They would put it in plain sight. It makes sense that it would be in this chest. And I was like, I don't know about opening a chest, man.
Oh, dear.
And then you look, and right as they click it open, it...
Guys?
Yeah. Right as they click it open, it... And it is a mimic. And it begins attacking these first years. It immediately bites and swallows one of them. And what would you guys like to do?
Well...
Start charging in there.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. So go ahead and roll me initiative, those of you that are going to participate.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's a really good initiative. Oh. Like, that's like, oh my God, guys, I rolled a natural 20 for my initiative.
Yeah, so I will I will call out for initiative, like areas, and then you guys can give them to me once everyone's rolled. I will start with above 20. All right, Tanner.
22.
All right, so Lux is at a 20.
I didn't roll a natural 20. I rolled a natural 1. Just so the audience knows.
Yeah, just so you guys know. Okay, so between 20 and 15.
Got a dirty 20.
Okay.
You can just put me at the bottom.
Between 15 and 10? All right, between... I
got a 3, sorry.
Okay, between 10 and 5. That's not between 15 and 10.
No, I'm just holding up my 3, so
between,
I remember.
Between 10 and 5?
I got a 6.
I got a 5.
Oh, okay, so we will have Astra first, and then Croy.
Yeah.
And then Lex.
Dude.
What? I'm not trying to copy your drip, okay? I don't know what you want.
So you guys see this thing snap down on one of the students and swallow him and then grab the other student by the leg with tongue that's whipped out. It made two attacks functionally, but these are first level wizards. So they got obliterated by this thing. Yeah. And so first up is Luxford.
I don't want to use my resources like now, you know what I mean? Like these fucking dumb kids.
No, absolutely.
Know?
I get you.
These children.
So I will.
I'm going to tell the box to shit itself.
Yeah. Dude, yeah.
The kid comes out.
I will. I'll just shoot the mimic with my lightning launcher. So I have this gauntlet on my right hand and I'm running towards them. Like I want to get to them and I'm taking shots.
Fantastic.
So I shoot twice. 15
hits.
Natural 1, 8
misses.
Okay. And so I'll fire off my gauntlet. 14 damage.
Ooh, that's a lot of damage. Very good.
And then I'm just going to call out to the first year who's not inside of a mimic. Uh-huh. Hey, kid, you might want to get away from there.
I'm trying. It has my leg. Oh. Help me, please. We said we were going to be the first seers ever to get the item, and now it's eating me. It ate my friend. He's like crying.
No.
Disheveled. Luxford, that's going to be your turn. We'll go ahead and go to Ember.
All right. I'm just going to charge in there.
Hey, you're just a bear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I do what bears do. And I attack with my bite and my claws. Bite is 15 hit?
15 does hit, yes.
Nice. And then my bite, that's higher than 15. 18, yeah. Okay.
Roll damage.
Just see this bear charge in.
Yeah.
And destroy this mimic.
13 damage.
Nice.
Very good. Yeah, this mimic.
Piercing kind of, damage, if that matters.
Oh, piercing, cool. Rears back. You know that this is a modified monster. Typically, they make like certain modifications to monsters here, especially when they have them working with students. But they still are deadly. They still can be deadly, as you've seen. This kid got swallowed. You guys recognize if you don't get that kid out shortly, there's a good chance that kid will die. Yeah.
Oh my god.
All right. So yeah, you rush in, kind of claw and bite at it, and the kid's like, "Oh, thank God!" Like, just seeing a bear is like coming to his rescue. And then Astra.
I love the disparity of 20, 22, and then the next is 6.
Yeah, you guys did poorly.
And 5.
And 5.
Right after.
That's actually a great point, Astra. My mimic will go.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Yeah. I was like, there's no way the mimic's not going to go.
No, you're right. I was going to let the mimic act at the tail end, but the disparity is so severe. I'll go
it's
and have
really
my
bad.
Act.
It's really
It's also funny that it's the two Strixhaven students.
Yeah,
the Silver Coast students
look.
Who are just like...
It's okay, we're warming up. We're warming
kind
up.
Kind of a lame major.
Chris Mari all the way at the bottom.
You're supposed to be explosive and crazy.
Lorehold, best college, I'm just saying. Yeah, like
interesting, Lorehold showing out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So the mimic
we win Quidditch all the time. Anyway, sorry.
The mimic rears back. I will say Lorehold does win a lot in this, specifically because their ability and affinity for magical items.
Won 3 times.
Yeah, and so the mimic rears back in pain and like kind of tries to back up from you, and as it does, there's like a spark, like a and it creates kind of like a smoke screen almost. Those of you that would like to try to watch the mimic, go and give me your perception rolls.
I don't see shit. I got a 5.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a 7.
All right. I got a 23.
Oh, my goodness.
14?
13.
13, okay. So almost all of you miss it as once that like inky cloud kind of dissipates, there just appears to be no chest, and the room seems... empty aside from the one kid who has like lacerations on his leg. However, you see, Ember, you see there is one extra chair at the closest table to you. And you recognize that is the mimic. You can make like bear noises.
Yeah, I'm gonna point.
It's the most insane thing the rest of you have ever seen. It's just pointing at this chair. And yeah, that then will be Astra's turn.
Okay. Since Ember pointed out the chair, I'm going to try to Eldritch Blast the chair.
Okay.
And I can make 2 beams because I am level 5.
That's really good.
Yes, that's how
Eldritch
that works.
Eldritch Blast is so powerful.
I love that spell.
The first one is like over 20.
Yeah, that hits.
Second is a nat 20.
All right. No. So okay. You are going to obliterate this mimic.
Love that for you.
Because if we go off of max damage for the nat 20.
Yeah, then that'll just be... It's a D10.
Yeah, so it'll be 10. So he's currently under 20 life. So you're going to kill this mimic.
Okay.
How do you do it?
So for one of my invocations, I have repelling blasts. Mm-hmm. So I like to think my first one, I like shoot it back as like a little bit of showy. And then as it's shooting back, the other one will just kind of like blow it apart.
Yeah, it's like on the tail of it.
Yeah, on the tail of it.
It makes contact. And as it does, you see the mimic morph out of a chair and into its like real form for a moment. Where it's this like fleshy tentacle gross thing. And it gets obliterated. And as it does, an unconscious student to the floor. Very bad shape. And actually, that's your turn. Karoi, there's one hurt student, one unconscious student who you recognize probably needs to get medical attention soon. What do you do?
I'm going to... Okay, yes, because it's just... Because the mimic is done. So,
yes, yeah. You guys see the mimic get blown to pieces by Astra. All
right. I'm going to do... I do have a
I have Spare the Dying as a cantrip, so if you don't want to waste a spell slot, I can stabilize
him. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, you know, if you know that you have Spare the Dying, then I am simply going to basically comfort the student. Just like both of
really
them.
Really good.
Like, I'll use Thaumaturgy as a cantrip.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I think it's with your Thaumaturgy, I think kind of this like wave of like weight and warmth comes over them.
Like a weighted blanket.
Yeah, like a weighted blanket or like a safety blanket after being saved from like a fire.
Yes.
I'm like, thank you. We split up from our group because we thought we knew what we were doing. And then we'll go ahead and leave combat, Karori. You do that. You do have to leave, Ember. You have to leave Bear form to cast Spare the Dying.
I'm a little upset about
it.
Yeah,
but you know.
I switch back to a human, Spare the Dying him.
Yeah, and so they're like, thank you guys so much. You guys are really cool. And he's going to scoop his friend up and
run off.
Yeah, he's going to run off to try to go find the nurse's office and hopefully not get eaten by a monster on his way.
I really hope not.
Hello, hello, and welcome to our first middle of the episode for 5 Gems Presents Students of Strixhaven. Our first ad this week is sponsored by our friends at So Many Robots. So Many Robots is a new 5e Kickstarter up and running. Songs of the Spellbound Sea is a 200-plus page book containing everything you need for thrilling adventures at sea. You should totally check it out for 3 new classes, the Troubadour, Swashbuckler, and Blood Rager. There's dozens of new subclasses, a complete set of seafaring rules for naval combat, ocean travel, and for building your own floating stronghold at sea. Hundreds of spells included, but not limited to, the entire Spells That Don't Suck project. There's new species, new monsters, and there's mini settings, enchanting islands that you can drop into an existing game for instant adventure. Their Kickstarter ends tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. PDT, so you should definitely go check it out. We'll have the links in our episode description and on our social medias as well. Thank you to So Many Robots for sponsoring this ad. You should definitely go check out Songs of the Spellbound Sea. We're very excited to check it out. Our next ad this week comes from our friend Star over on Characters Without Stories.
Characters Without Stories is a tabletop role-playing game podcast about the roads not yet traveled. Every episode, I bring in a friend to tell me about a character they long to play. Characters Without Stories is about how our characters intersect and reveal our identities, and how play is a gateway to personal growth.
The way I see tabletop is that I am running to something. I'm running to a world where it's possible for me to feel comfortable enough to stand up for myself.
The reason that you can die in these games is because it matters. And something mattering is one of the most precious things we can have. You want your life and your stories to matter.
Roleplay is a fantastic tool for exploring stories and exploring people.
Thank you, and may all your characters find their stories.
Characters Without Stories is a super fun podcast that kind of explores why we do character creation and why we make the characters we make. Highly recommend you go check it out. We'll have those links in our episode description.
Alrighty, water, check. Bathroom break, check. Earbuds charge, check. Let's get back to the episode, shall we? Back to our regularly scheduled programming.
Yeah, and so you guys have cleared out the second floor. In the commotion, there are no other students there. You do recognize that the staff were kind of like ready to jump in, but you guys handled it, so they stayed back in case of emergency.
Yeah.
And you guys have cleared out the second floor. You have Detect Magic on, yes?
Yeah.
So there are what appear to be possibly 3 minor magical effects going on in this room that you could go to check for if you'd like to.
Might as well cover our bases while we're here. So I'll just point out, I feel like there's like 3 like minor magical things going on. I don't know if you want to check it out just in case.
Yeah, so with that, the way I'll do it is everyone has to give me an investigation check. Those of you that are looking for them, you can do yours with advantage, Astra.
Okay. A nat 20?
A nat 20 as well.
My God.
We kiss.
What?
It'll be 23 total.
Okay, 23 total.
Not a nat 21. 20.
21.
12.
12.
13.
Okay, so 12 and 13. So Kuroi and Ember were just so focused on helping these kids that like they're like, all right, like we did a good thing. And then everyone else is like, let's get back to the fucking business. And so the two of you, go ahead and roll me a D6 each and just see who gets higher.
I got a 6.
Fuck, I got a 4. Can I use my luck to reroll it?
Do you want to use your luck to reroll it, Tandlin? To beat a 6?
No.
So anyways, Astra, you find a dowsing dagger. Oh. It is an enchanted dagger. And along with the dowsing dagger is a small note, and it says that...
Oh, that's right. There's hidden items. I forgot about that.
And it says, the best aid comes to those who are patient. And you guys stopped. You looked around the biblioplex, which is usually often like first discarded because it is never in the biblioplex. Mm-hmm. But the best aid comes to those who wait for it, who are patient, right? And so you have a dowsing dagger, and you recognize that the dowsing dagger probably might lead you to what you want.
Okay.
It might be it's a very...
Like a key?
It's almost? Like a Jack Sparrow compass, almost.
Ah, I see.
And so for you, on the other hand, though, you find the second item, and you find a greater healing potion.
Nice.
Yeah, it is a greater healing potion, fully undone. And then our final one, our Lorehold friend over here, you find 5 coins of minor teleportation.
Oh.
So they can move you 5 feet.
Great. I'm going to pocket those.
Yep.
But I will say, anybody want these? I think they just help us move around a bit. And I, like, jingle them in my hand.
I'll take one.
I'll flick you one.
All right.
Anybody else?
I'll take one just in case.
Yep. Flick one to you. That's 3. Anybody else? Yeah.
I'll take a coin.
Yeah, so then, okay. I'll pass one out to everybody.
Cool. Everyone has one. So the way they will work, as a bonus action, anytime you can use them, and they can move you up to 5 feet. 5 feet up, 5 feet to the side, 5 feet down, whatever you guys decide. It's like baby Misty Step. And you guys have gone through this floor. You've checked everything. You see that all the minor like clips of magic are gone.
Okay.
You guys want to move on to the third floor or leave the biblioplex?
I'm going to look at this dagger
Okay. Real
hard and see if it tells me anything.
It is magical. You know, for a dowsing dagger, you'd either have to hold it over a map with a string or you'd have to place it on the floor and allow it to spin.
Oh, yeah. I see. I'm going to put it on the floor for right now and see. I just want to see if we need to go to the third floor or not. It's pretty much the vibe.
Put it on the floor. I would like you to roll me. What is your stat? Like, as a character, what is your stat?
My stat, I think it would be...
So, like, embodies your character.
I think it's history.
All right. Your ability. I will let you roll history in this moment, then, to see what the dowsing dagger going to pick up as the thing you want the most.
Okay. That'll be an 18.
An 18. Okay, that was decently high. The dowsing dagger is bouncing back and forth between pointing towards the upward staircase, the spiraling staircase, right? The stone spiraling staircase that almost is like a snake, like ever shifting, right? You're looking at it like that's upstairs, and then it's shifting back. It's pointing not down, like right, not towards the back end staircase, but out, like elsewhere. It is
guys, the dagger's doing weird things.
Did you do it wrong, or
I don't.
All of you are magical. Anyone who would like to could give me an Arcana roll.
I was going
to
say,
yeah.
Nat 20, 27.
Ha! You guys are on a Nat 20 roll. Seriously. First episode, dude.
Honestly. Oh, 21, hell yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I rolled worse than
okay, so 27 and 21.
And I rolled worse.
Immediately, Kuroi and Luxford know that a dowsing dagger, though incredibly helpful, will always point you in the direction of what you want. Like truly. So maybe even what you need, not necessarily what you want, right? You might want a cheeseburger, but what you need is to better yourself through reading and practice, right? Like there are different things that this thing can, and it reads your soul magically, right? It responds to you magically. And so it bouncing back and forth might mean that there's a general split between the two things that it thinks that Astra might be looking for.
Oh, well, did you tell us about the note that was with the dowsing dagger?
Yeah, I would have. I would have passed it around.
Oh. Well, I mean, couldn't this mean the nurse's office? It has the word both patient and aid? Does it look like the dagger? Well, the dagger's just pointing to the stairs, right?
It's pointing up and out.
Yeah, so it's pointing towards the upward stairs, mm-hmm. and then when it bounces the other way, because it's not spinning, it's like bouncing, and it makes hard stops on both ends. So that's why you guys kind of posit that it might be like stopping for mm-hmm. the things that Astra wants. It points outward. You can give me a history roll to see if you would know the exact, like the things that are in that direction.
I doubt it.
You can do it with advantage, actually, because there's a reason.
16?
Yeah, with the 16. It is pointing in the direction of your home, where you stay when you're at Strixhaven, which is Witherbloom. And you know that that's where the nurse's office is. So it might be pointing that way, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it might be pointing to the nurse's office based off this note.
Adam?
Yes?
Just kind of a, like, I want to, as a confirmation, I have maps, like mm-hmm. a map, right, of Lorehold, of Strixhaven, right. Lorehold, being Lorehold. I have a few maps in my bag of holding, uh-huh. but
that's besides the point.
Yeah, that's all important.
I've got maps.
I want to put one down, lay uh-huh. one down, and then say, "Why don't we try it on here, just in case that helps?"
Okay.
I'll lay out the map. You know, probably like big-ish. You know what I mean, mm-hmm. And then put the dagger down.
You're gonna put it down, or would you tie a rope and hold it?
Oh yeah, I'll tie a rope.
Yeah, string and holding it over is probably the better call for maps. Are you doing it? Are you holding the string?
I don't mind. Astra, I think it's your dagger. Would you like to?
Sure, I can do that.
Okay, you're holding a string again?
Yeah, I'll hold
Give
it.
Give me another history roll, because this is, it's you.
17.
So, similar to 18. It is going, hovering between two spots. One is over Witherbloom, where you guys would know either the nurse's office or the bog are. And the bog is a place where people are sent to do intense magical focus and practice from Witherbloom, or are sent to like clean up as like a punishment. And it's often like a scary, freaky place. And also the similarly and close to that is the nurse's office, where there is a druid and a cleric there who work together on healing students. And then swinging back, it hovers directly over the biblioplex. However, it hovers magically almost right at the peak of the biblioplex, the very top of
See what I mean by the dagger doing weird things?
Yeah.
I don't know which one we would do first, or if we're doing both, or if we're doing either, really.
Well, we're already here.
Yeah, how would we get to the peak?
Yeah. So you would have to go either out the window and, like, climb, or you'd have to go upstairs, and then there's sometimes a spiral staircase will reveal itself to those who need to go higher, and you can climb.
I had a climbing speed as a bear.
Oh.
Well, I was going to
say, I don't think any of us are necessarily the best climbers, except for Lorehold.
I was going to, I'm not bad at climbing, guys. Like, I'll do it.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, you guys aren't going to believe this. I have a grappling hook. I've climbed buildings on campus before.
Is this
true?
This
can't be
that
too hard.
True,
okay.
Yeah.
Can't be that hard.
This makes sense for, yeah.
Yeah, are you sure about that, Lux?
Yeah, yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be good. Just, and I have Featherfall in case anything goes badly.
All right.
Adam.
Yes, Lorehold, basic spell, Featherfall.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Every student has to have it.
Smart.
yeah.
So, if anything goes badly, I guess just watch out for me falling from the
from
building.
The sky.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
How tall is this building, Adam?
So tall, Danny.
Well,
it's three stories, and then on top of that, it's like a vaulted, like pointed, like gaudy library.
Okay.
So we're looking at like 50 feet, like maybe more.
What could go wrong? No, I'll do it. Like, I'll walk over to a window.
Okay, so you, like, crack the window open.
I grab my grappling hook just in case and, like pin it to my side.
What's your passive perception?
14.
Yeah, 15? I think you hear, like, a light, like, sigh from one of the, like, hidden staff.
Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong?
And so you begin climbing out. Do you have a climbing speed, or are you going to need to make...
I'm acrobaticsing it, baby.
All right, I will give you advantage because you have a grappling hook and you've tied yourself on.
Thank you.
Okay.
25
okay.
already. That was a nat 20, but I touched it on accident.
Okay,
so
well,
like,
either way, you have an advantage. So 25 or nat 20, you begin scaling this thing
okay.
solo. Everyone else is still inside watching, like,
yeah.
Dude,
all right.
I'm free soloing? Crazy?
Yeah.
Wait a
You're
second.
Not free soloing. You have something tied to you.
Didn't you see Batman? He's supposed to not have it on, so he shouldn't have advantage.
Wait. Jesse!
You're right. You don't
Who
have
man?
Advantage.
I
died. You have disadvantage?
No!
Anyways, you start climbing. I'm going to need you to make 3 in total to get to the very top.
Oh, boy. Oh, you're good. You're good.
24.
All right. So you make another one. Are you looking in through? Because as you, so the third floor, you know, is a, it, the vaulted ceiling, like the what would that be, like a dome top ceiling with like a point. So the dome top ceiling is all glass, and you're able to look in. Do you look in, or are you focused on climbing?
I look down probably and just say, "Fuck!" And then I look, like, I think my eyes like go over the glass. You know what I mean?
Give
and
me
I
perception with disadvantage then.
Inside,
just to see if you see anything.
Nat 20 for, you know, and a 3.
Okay, so you don't catch anything. You're climbing, and give me one more acrobatics roll to
so
see.
You're so locked in right now.
Yeah, to see how well.
Dude,
nat 20. Crazy. This is crazy.
On Jesus. Fire.
Wow. Yeah.
Nat 20. You get to the very top.
Wow.
You like anchor yourself, and you look directly down. And as you do, you see these shifting bookcases, and they're shifting rapidly. And I think that can you give me an arcana roll as well?
Yeah. 16.
Now that you've settled in, your foot placement's good, you're holding yourself, you're no longer like breathing heavy from climbing, you look down and suddenly you recognize that all of Strixhaven is enchanted. Everything here is enchanted. The air, like the place, it is protected, is abjured. Some illusion magic, some different things, right? Minor precipitation's happening all the time, fixing broken things. And you know, you've left Strixhaven before. You don't live at Strixhaven.
Yeah.
Not all the time, right? Just during the main portion of the school year.
Yeah.
You know the difference between being in a place that is fully enchanted and between being in a place that is not enchanted. And for a moment, as you've reached the top of the Biblioplex, it is not enchanted. The rest of this campus is. You just came from the rest of the campus. You are no longer under any of the eyes that exist in Strixhaven. You're no longer under any of the protection that exists on campus in Strixhaven. And you look down, and rapidly shifting are these bookcases. And you see that there was one staff placed up there, unconscious. And you see an individual kind of going through, like rapidly going through books, and they're floating around them, like filting open. And then the individual looks up, and they have this like bone white mask with kind of like black and gold lines, kind of doing almost like the put together pottery, like when they put pottery back together.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's like bone colors through it. And they look up at you, and the mask peaks almost like an owl's face, and they reach their hand out, and
you gotta go.
An Eldritch Blast.
Yeah, so I kind of, I smile at them, and then I, like, before they do anything at them, as soon as they look at me, I cut rope and I jump.
Okay, yeah, so I'm gonna attack you with disadvantage.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was just like, Lux is like, no, I'm out. Like,
no,
you know,
I respect
it. I need to get out there the fastest way I can.
Yeah.
All right, so the first one is going to be an 18 to hit.
Oh, that's one. Oh, I'm gonna slippery barbs it. Fuck you.
Okay, and then I'll reroll that. It's gonna be a 19 to hit that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the second, so 3 blasts arc out from this individual.
Fuck.
Okay.
Second attack is going to be a 25 to hit.
Jesus. That one hits.
And third attack will be a 20 to hit. So you just, as these D10s arc out and hit you. Yeah, no, so you guys are about to see this in just a moment. You're going to see the Lux falling for, so 21. And upon one of them hitting you, you're jolted further away from the building as you've been, like, speared past it. It's forced you past.
Okay.
I'm not going to have you make a save or anything because you're free falling.
Yeah.
So you just get shoved back. So now you're in a position where even because you cut your rope, you don't have your grappling hook, you will not be able to reach for the building. You have to go straight down.
Feather fall.
Yeah, I know. So you take that much damage. You guys then see, and I think you don't get feather fall up for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
You cut, you're like, all right, I cut, and you look up and you're falling as you get blasted 3 times. I think one in the side, one in like skims your cheek because you're falling, and the last one hits you like dead shoulder. And then you kind of like are free falling for a moment where like it's like,
yeah,
and it's there's like
fuck.
Yeah, you hear the wind just whipping past you, and once again you're in that situation where it's like, it's almost like where you know you're stronger at Strixhaven because it's here to hone your power. And so there's this thing where if you go somewhere where you're at 100% all the time, and then somewhere else you've been at 50% all the time, when you go back from being at that 100% spot, you're at 70% now.
Yeah.
You've gotten better. That's what Strixhaven does. And you were at 100%, and then you climbed and you were at 50% because you were no longer under the protection of Strixhaven. And so I think you struggled to cast even. It's almost like, fuck, like my magic's not working the way I want it to.
Yeah.
You're like rolling around in the air and you guys see him like past the window.
Lux?
And then it goes up, right? Your feather fall goes up and you're just floating down. You guys, what's everyone's passive perceptions again?
11.
Also 11.
14.
Okay. And Kuroi?
14.
Okay.
14,
so 14. For the 14s, you guys heard like from upstairs. Like you heard like the blasting of a like cantrip. Mm. And then you see.
Since they were right next to me, would they know that it's like a similar sound?
Yeah,
also
you guys.
Did Eldritch Blast?
I don't think all Eldritch Blasts sound the same because magic casts differently. But yeah, it sounded like the blasting of an arcane bolt. Arcana was gathered together in a compressed blast and shot out. And you guys heard the glass breaking and heard the.
No. Pew, pew, pew. Oh, I think he was attacked.
Yeah, is that what we heard?
Look out the window to see if Lux is okay.
Yeah, you see he has caught himself okay. with a feather fall.
I want to make a little stone. I have like a bunch of pebbles. Uh-huh. I grab a pebble and I want to magically tinker with it for an action.
Okay.
And record a message. Uh-huh. And I want to throw it at them.
Okay, yeah.
Like at the window.
Yeah, you throw it into the window that you opened earlier. It like just lands.
Somebody has to pick it up.
I'll pick it up since I'm right there.
There's somebody up on the third floor. They look like bad. They shot me. You might want to let a teacher know. It really hurts. That's all.
All right. Well, it looks like he's okay.
I think I will look out the window again and send message to Lux.
Okay.
Be like, what do you mean somebody hit you?
I don't know how else to.
Lux.
I don't know. Dot, dot, dot. Like, wait. Like, there's a beat. They had a mask on. Did not look like a student. Shot Eldritch Blast me.
Okay. Cool. Then I guess I'll see if I can find a teacher behind one of those.
Yeah, you know they're here. They're behind like illusory walls.
I just tell the rest of you guys. I'm like, so Lux got like shot with a blast like 3 times. I think he's okay.
What?
Yeah.
Like, hold on.
Yeah, Lux got that's why he was falling. I guess there was like
he what?
Yeah.
I'm on the floor. I give me a thumbs up.
All good.
Yeah, he's on the floor outside. He caught himself, thank God. But I there's a guy up on the third floor. And that's kind of scary. Lux also said he didn't look like a student.
Mm. Well, then it must certainly be there if there's someone protecting it, right?
Lux killed himself.
Dude, beautiful.
Like, beautiful. You know?
I don't.
Everyone here, give me a wisdom roll.
It's like, I don't think that's how that works.
Like 26.
18.
18, 19. 26, 19.
Natural 20.
Natural guys. 20. Those are fantastic wisdoms. And so with that, it's this. There's the point where you're like, well, maybe it's this. And then you're like, no, that doesn't fit with the typical way they go about these things. And beyond that, you guys know. And I think there's just been like inner, like low, like broilings of it. These little talks of it. But that apparently there's this almost, I guess you could say, cult of wizards or of casters who have been conscripting students in order to attempt to plumb forbidden knowledge and magic from Strixhaven.
Forbidden knowledge.
Yeah, forbidden knowledge. And that would, I guess, kind of make sense. You also know, though, there's on this backhand, that's odd. There's weird shit going on. But you also know that this, if it were a student, this wouldn't be the first time a student attacked another student during the first day rush. It happens often. Sometimes we end up in student-on-student combat because we are at the items we want. It has happened. No one ever has died from the situation, but that does occur.
I look at Kuroi. Maybe we should teach this guy a lesson.
Try
this.
I'm rather offended that, one, they attacked someone on my team, but also rather violently.
I could have
like
died.
Way too violent.
That's so real.
So I'm pushed to for action.
You guys are fantastic.
Actually.
Okay. Can we at least let a teacher know just in case we get got and then we'll go up?
So yeah, you guys can let a teacher know. my sense of justice is pushing me forward.
Dude, that bangs.
So Kuroi, go ahead and give me a initiative roll with advantage because you're running up there.
I'm gonna join.
All right, you can.
So, and actually, well, and one thing right before it, though. So I have Find Familiar because I can. I have the Strixhaven mascot. So, as I guess I'm running forward, I'll kind of like spit up, this black inkling that was inside me.
Oh, that's beautiful. Kinda
like, yeah, that's just, listen, it's elegant when I do it, okay? I'm not just like doubled over in pain, but instead I look super cool, actually.
Yeah, you burp out a little bubble, and then from the bubble pops out this little inkling.
I'm like, oh.
Gross.
Yeah, I'll just...
That's kind of slay.
kind of sick.
Yeah, right? You know, yeah, just press two fingers to my lips and just mwah, kiss out. You see a little black bubble and then pop, a little ink, a big old inkling pops out. Because we're on that silver quill stuff. So yeah, I'm just getting my little summon ready so I can do things because I'm not that aggro.
Yeah,
that's
amazing. Okay, so yeah, you've summoned that. You guys begin running upstairs. Both Karoi and Ember can give me initiative rolls with advantage.
Oh.
Nat 20. Got 22.
16.
So it'll be Ember, my wizard, and then Karoi. Okay.
Oh, also, I'm like full support, so don't expect much help in this fight.
Oh, no. Oh, so am I.
Exquisite. So you two really quickly.
I'm going to go, because I know where the walls are. I'm going to be like, I'm going to like, do, hey. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And yes.
There might be some bad things going on upstairs. Our friend got shot.
Is it a student thing or is it a not student
thing? Dude, it's cult shit for sure.
Can you give me a charisma roll, please?
19 plus 7.
Are you serious?
I mean, that's what it sounded like. He had like a mask on.
Yeah.
They immediately both dispel their illusions and then both equip mage armor like instantly and they're like, and they both begin like in sync marching up there and they both summon stabs to their hands as they begin marching up
this way. I think I'll just follow behind them. Like,
yeah, I look at you and just like give you a little thumbs up.
I'm like, all right, well, you got them to go up there, so yeah, good job.
So first up, Ember, you cleared through the room. You see the books floating
you
about.
You guys are gonna kick God right
and
now.
You see the bookshelves moving, and you see one unconscious staff member who just out, and then you see the shattered window and illuminating. And mind you, it's like the day, like it is the middle of the day, and illuminating into the area, like straight through the windows, which are like magically shaded typically, but through the broken window is the light kind of flashing right down on this individual with their owl-esque mask,
dramatic
hood up. Huh?
How dramatic.
Yeah, very dramatic. Hood up, and you see kind of magic whipping around them, and you see coming from them, their magic is orange, but as it's touching certain books and doing certain things, you see it's beginning to, like, darken into, like, a red and then into a black as the magic is sort of changing and altering with the things they're doing here. You are first.
Oh, fuck you.
Oh, boy. All
right, I'm going to throw and whip and try to pull him towards me.
Okay.
Oh.
12.
Wizard battle. Yeah, you, believe it or not, you miss.
Oh. that seems like all I can really do. All
right. So they are going to turn and point at you, and you see they grab one of the books, and it, like, kind of begins to like flake apart. Very Mr. Stark, I don't feel so good. As it like kind of gives way under like their magic, and then you see the like pulse of like their orange magic just turn completely like not inky black but like smoke black as it washes over their left arm and then through the center of their chest into their right arm as they blast three eldritch blasts at you that like kind of float around their hand before missiling out.
Oh.
And so they're going to attack.
Did
you.
We accidentally jump to the big boss?
No.
Do that sometimes.
We do.
You guys do that often. a 28 to hit you.
Yeah.
22 to hit you.
Yeah.
And a 20 to hit you.
Jesus.
Yeah, so they're all going to hit you.
Are you just rolling really well, Adam?
I am really
okay.
Well,
yeah. I was like,
I'm going to have to switch die.
He keeps hitting 20s. Like, I'm just saying.
A 5 damage. 5 more damage. Oh, and then 4 damage. So I rolled really, really poorly on the damage. 14 damage total, but I need you to make 3 constitution saves.
Oh, God. Okay, first one's 18.
Okay.
Oh, second one's 3.
Okay.
And then 17.
All right, so the second one is a fail. Do you currently have 28 or under HP?
Yes.
Okay, so as the bolts hit you, and that second one hits you, and then as like you fail this like wave of like nausea and sort of like sickness washes over you, and then the third one hits you and pulls you out of that, but then you just asleep. And Croy, can you give me an Arcana roll?
Yep, I got you. Natty 20 plus 2.
Oh, yes! Amazing. Croy, that's actually perfect. So you see that what just occurred was them, this individual utilizing a magical amulet they are wearing to practically consume that book, that magical book, and then use that magical book's powers on their own cantrip. What you would recognize is that they pretty much added a sleep spell to their cantrip. So they're buffing their spells with whatever it is they're wearing. That will then be Kuroi's turn.
All right. I'm going to... Let's see. How far away are we from them?
I would say once you clear the staircase, you're about 60 feet away.
How far can we run?
Because I know that Ember ran towards them and then went to Thornwhip. And so Ember's about 30 feet ahead of you, and then I think mm-hmm. you could probably move 30 feet or 60 feet in the whole turn and get to them.
Gotcha. Oh, right, yeah, and the Thorn Whip didn't pull them closer, right? Gotcha. All right, so I'm going to keep my familiar back, okay. Right? Like, they'll be hiding, as it were. So like as we're like cresting into the room, I'm gonna keep it at the front of the room, where people are gonna come up. I'm going to try and run towards them as much as I can. For that spell that they cast, did that look like a spoken spell at all?
No. So the thing is it looked like typically. A spell like casting a spell usually needs verbal components. However, you know that the cantrip they use does not, and whatever magical item they have is pretty much allowing them to bypass other components and compound their cantrip with those spells.
Gotcha. I'm going. What that item that they had? What does it look like?
It is. It looks almost. I guess I would say like a topaz teardrop. It is on like a worn leather kind of necklace, like worn leather necklace with a dangling like topaz teardrop that's connected by a like bright piece of like sterling silver.
And sterling silver is metal, wonderful, heat metal.
Yeah, so it begins to crackle and heat up, and I believe turn one when it happens he takes damage, then he either has to remove it or take more damage, right?
I believe it's, so choose a manufactured metal object, blah, blah, blah. Actually, what does their mask look like?
It appears to be like a bone-made mask with kind of like gold or like mineral veins kind of going through it.
That's metal. I'm going to burn that, or I'm going to heat metal on the kind of like, I guess, the filigree, or however you said, like, the gold pieces that they've used to reattach it. Yeah, so I'm going to heat metal on
Fantastic.
That.
Fantastic.
And so any creature with contact within it takes 2d8 fire damage when I cast the spell. And until it ends, I can use a bonus action to keep causing that damage again. If they're holding or wearing it, takes damage from it, they must succeed in the constitution saving throw or drop the object if it can.
Yes.
If it doesn't, has disadvantage on attack rolls and ability checks until the start of my next turn. That's wonderful. And if that resolves, that's 12 fire damage.
Okay, so they're going to take 12 fire damage. Then...
In the face. Yeah.
I think like there's this kind of shriek and shrill scream let out as you begin burning someone's face. And that is going to be your turn, Kuroi.
And that's after running as far as I can.
Yes, absolutely. Well, okay, so you're about the same area as Ember is. Then the two teachers kind of clear the like staircase, and both of them are going to take blasting attacks at them with their... Okay. One teacher misses, one teacher hits with firebolt out of their dab, doing a good chunk of damage to them, so they're taking lots of fire damage. Okay, so the staff go. They just did an extra 13 damage. This individual immediately seems like weak and doubled over. It is going to go up to Ember's turn.
All right. Do I wake up?
Oh, you're asleep. You have to be roused. Give me a constitution roll just to see.
It's a 4?
Yeah. You are asleep. It'll then go back to the enemy's turn. They are going to rip off their mask. And as they do, you see like pale ghost white skin starting at the chin. But as the mask comes off, it begins morphing. And kind of in unison with the mask coming off, Kuroi, you're looking into your own face. However, it has burn marks on it. And in the areas that are burned, you still see the skin of the changeling underneath.
Revealed it.
Yeah, and they are going to cast Mirror Image. So suddenly, there are four of them, and then they're scattering and trying to hide amongst the moving bookshelves. So it's going to be a fun little game of hide and seek. We're going to do a hide and seek mechanic where you guys can see if you find them.
I want to add that I would have followed.
Yeah, I figured you guys are coming up right now.
We'll get there.
We can add you guys into initiative right now. So the enemy just split into four practically and ran deeper into the moving library. I would like everyone else to roll me initiative, those of you that are arriving, and you can come in another turn.
Yeah, I was going to say, Luxford's taking a minute.
Yeah.
It's been rough.
17?
6.
Oh, Lex.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they split into four, scattering amongst the area. Everyone just rolled initiative. You guys hear books being knocked down and bookshelves kind of like twisting and turning. And as that's happening, you all kind of begin to like peek up and look around, and that's where we'll end the session.
Fuck.
What kind of a dream do I have? Am I having a nice dream?
I think you're having a wonderful dream. You're smelling burnt hair and honey, because you got hit by Eldritch Blast, so there's a little bit of burnt hair, but then it's being overpowered by like honey and toast.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Right. I thought I was having a stroke or something.
Yeah, burnt toast. Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening to Five Gems in a Trench Coat. Five Gems presents
Students of Strixhaven.
I forgot. Five Gems presents Students of Strixhaven. Thank you guys for listening. We'll do a quick sign off and then you can come back and listen to episode 2, I hope. I've been Adam, your GM. You can find me over here at Five Gems in a Trench Coat. You can follow us anywhere if you like what we're doing. You can follow us at Five Gems Official on X/Twitter/Blue Sky, I believe.
Yeah.
And then you can find us at Five Gems in a Trench Coat on everything else. We also have a website, Five Gems in a Trench Coat. I believe all of our accounts link to the website. Our website links to all of our accounts. We have a Ko-Fi. If you like us, you like what we're doing, you can send us a little bit of moolah. We love any support. Any support we get, we tend to use for energy drinks or new mics like we just got. We love our new mics.
Yay.
They're awesome. The sound quality is pretty cool. This is going to be the second miniseries on them.
No, first mini
series. First mini series on them. Yeah. If you also like what we're doing here, you can follow Kim and I over at Amateur Dragon Highlander, where we stream Commander on Thursdays. You can follow most of us, except for Jesse and Kuro, at Adivan's Armory, where we make 5e supplemental content. Tanlin.
Hi. Yeah, I do all of, pretty much all of the art for this lovely podcast and Adivan's Armory. Gremlin Frog Art on both Instagram and Twitter/X. FROGGART. There we go.
Amazing. Tanner.
I do two things. One of them is called Wisteria Falls. It's a webcomic on Webtoon. You can look it up on Webtoon at Wisteria Falls. And then you can also check out my Substack. I write about immersion and narrative and stuff like that. It's called A Key to Other Worlds. I forgot for a second,
amazing,
but we're good.
Yes. And Kuro.
Our guest. Yay.
And you can find me at twitch.tv/Kurohitsuki, where I'm playing Magic the Gathering Commander games way too many times a week. And also on Twitter.
All right. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
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 Hello, hello. Thank you for listening to 5 Gems in a Trench Coat. Be sure to follow us on social media at 5 Gems in a Trench Coat on Instagram and TikTok, and at 5 Gems Official on Twitter and Blue Sky. You can also join our Discord. You can find out how to join on any of our social media accounts or on our website, 5gemsundertrenchcoat.com. If you like the episode, please rate us 5 stars and leave a little comment. And if you'd like to support us further, you can leave us a little tip on our Ko-Fi at ko-fi.com/5gemsundertrenchcoat. Thanks, and catch you in the next episode.